before we open our Bibles, let's pray. Our gracious and precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before Thee tonight, and Lord, first, I want to thank You for the message this morning, Lord. Lord, I want to thank You for the way Your Spirit led our pastor to bring forth the very words of God, that You were glorified through Your Son and the message of the gospel. That Your desire is for everybody to be a child of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, You've told us that it's Your longing, Your desire for folks to be saved. Lord, You've entrusted to us, Your church, the privilege and the responsibility of going into a harvest field that is white, already unto harvest, to preach the gospel. But Lord, You've also told us that with that responsibility, that we should pray. Not only pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers, but pray specifically for the harvest. And Lord, tonight I want to begin by just asking, Lord, for You have told us, as You commissioned Your disciples, as Your last words were spoken to them, as You told them You were going to send them out, You told them to pray. Lord, You told them to pray to the Father in Your name, and that He would do, and You would do, and You would give what we ask. Lord, tonight I come to You in faith, believing You, believing Your word. And Lord, I pray tonight for every person that was here this morning. Husbands and wives, young people. Lord, in faith believing, I pray for every person that is not a child of God that heard that message this morning. Lord, that You would save their souls and they would be rejoicing in heaven. Lord, as You bring forth the harvest and You give the increase. Lord, tonight, we gather together as Your children, as we have trusted in Jesus Christ. And You've adopted us into Your family. And You tell us we are Your children, the sons of the living God, the children of the living God. Lord, I pray tonight that You would open our hearts to the depth and the height and the breadth and the width of this special relationship that Jesus spoke of and taught and preached and opened the door at Calvary for us. Lord, teach us, open our understanding that we might be strengthened in the Spirit, sustained, filled with all the fullness of God, through this relationship that You have given to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you'll take your Bible to begin with tonight, and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. For 3 years, Jesus Christ spoke, taught, preached, ministered, with a purpose that people that would hear His message would believe on Him. And as we heard this morning, through faith, be allowed by the power of God, the authority of God, to enter into a special relationship with the living God of eternity. What a relationship. What a wonder it is. What a marvel it is that this has taken place. For 3 years, Jesus Christ would go across the face of this earth proclaiming that message with a desire that each and every one that would hear that message would trust him, believe on him, and be a child of the living God. And we come to the end of his ministry in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, we come to the night when Jesus Christ would have that last supper with his disciples. The Bible says in John chapter 13, in verse number 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." And chapter 13 is the account of the time he would spend at that last supper with his disciples and wash their feet and show his love to them. And then we go to John chapter 14, and he begins to speak one last time to his disciples before he would be betrayed, arrested, crucified. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And for the next three chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16, he encourages his disciples, for he knows that he is going to go back to glory, and he is going to leave his disciples with a great work to do, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knows all that they're going to go through. He knows all that's going to take place, and he encourages them to strengthen them in their faith. And we come down to chapter 16, and we come to verse 32, and he says this, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And then you go over to chapter 18. And in chapter 18 it tells us that when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And so Jesus Christ has finished encouraging his disciples. In chapter 18, it says he's going into the garden to pray, to be betrayed, to be crucified. But before he does that, we have the most precious words of our Savior ever written down for us to read. It's his prayer in John chapter 17. There is no chapter in the Bible that is more precious to you and me than this chapter right here. For in this chapter, it is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a prayer it is. It's the one time that we have a full prayer of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John chapter 17, these words spake Jesus. And he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, "Father, the hour is now come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. And this is where it gets so precious. Neither pray I for these alone. Listen to these next words. But for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Do you understand tonight? Do you comprehend tonight that Jesus Christ on this night, as he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he prayed, that in that prayer, he was praying for every one of us that is gathered here tonight. He looked down through the cord of time. And on the night in which he was betrayed, before he went into that garden and prayed for himself, and he prayed for me. And he prayed for you. And if you ever question the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated on the right hand of God and ever liveth to make intercession for you, read that verse. That verse says that Jesus looked down through the corner of time as only he could do. And he prayed for you. He prayed for you. He knew you. He knew you would believe on him. He knew that God would adopt you into his family. He knew that you would be allowed the privilege to be called a child of the living God. The thing that God desired of Israel. The thing that God promised to the Gentiles. The truth that we heard so wonderfully brought forth this morning. And Jesus prayed for you and me. He prayed for you, Kevin. He prayed for you, Daria. He prayed for you, Ray. He prayed for me. He prayed for us. Before he thought of himself, before he wept in that garden, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he spoke to his Father. Basically, he said, Father, I'm praying for those folks that'll gather together on a Sunday night in Lakes Palm Baptist Church that have placed their faith in me. And Father, I'm praying for them. And here's what he prays. Here's what he prays. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And that the world may know, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved us here tonight as God the Father loved his Son. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And then the last thing he says is this, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Throughout the Old Testament, all the saints of God learned of God, his character, his attributes, in the names of God. And oh, how we've studied the names of God. God said to Abraham, I am Almighty God. Walk before thou and be perfect. But God told his people, I want you to be children of the living God. I want that special relationship. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, when Jesus Christ began to teach, when Jesus Christ began with that Sermon on the Mount, he began to emphasize a name. He began to speak a name of God. He began to teach them a name of God. He says, I have declared thy name. He declared a name with a purpose. And the purpose of that name was to teach them, to invite them to a close personal relationship with the living God. And the name that he declared was Father. He says, I have declared thy name. And the name that he declared over and over again was Father. As he begins to preach on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He tells them, when you pray, you enter into a closet and you pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And in three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, 15 times in those three chapters, he refers to God as Father to begin to teach and encourage and preach about the special relationship, unlike any other relationship we could ever know, with God as our Heavenly Father. He tells them in his pattern of prayer, he says, when you pray, you pray, our Father, which art in heaven. My dad, every time he prayed, there was not a time that he prayed that he did not start his prayer with those words. Every time my father prayed, it started, Our Father, which art in heaven. My Father instilled in us, oh, the closeness of that relationship. Our Father, which art in heaven. And when you come over to the Gospel of John, and we study the Gospel of John, and commentators and teachers and Bible teachers, they tell you that the Gospel of John is about the deity of Jesus Christ. And yes, it is. But it's so much more than that. So much more than just knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Throughout the Gospel of John, it's more than just the knowledge of the deity of Christ. It's about how intimate and personal the relationship that Jesus Christ had with his Heavenly Father. And why? So that we would know that we can have that close of a relationship. And in John chapter 17, he says, I have declared thy name. Twice he says it. I have declared thy name. He says, you've kept them through thy name. And I have declared thy name. And in the Gospel of John, 127 times in 104 verses. Father. 17 chapters. Because from chapter 18 on is about the crucifixion. 17 chapters, 127 times. That averages out 6 times a chapter. But even more than that, as he speaks to his disciples, John 14, 15, 16, 17, 4 chapters, 4 chapters as he encourages his disciples. The greatest way he encourages his disciples is by declaring the name Father. 43 times in those 4 chapters, he keeps saying, Father, Father, Father. 43 times. Not to be repetitive, but to emphasize what a relationship we have. What a precious relationship we have. What a special relationship we have. 43 times. Brethren, it's this name, Father, that Christ prays that we would understand, that we would know and abide in its fullness, in the richest blessing of our relationship with God and our Heavenly Father. And you know, as he brings forth this name, and here's what I want to bring forth tonight, because this is the essence of it. This is the essence, the foundation, and the fullness of this relationship. As he brings forth his name, he brings forth the most important thing about it, that underscores everything in this relationship. And it's love. The love that the Father has for his children. Without that, we'd have nothing. He loved the world. He gave his Son. But when we trusted in Jesus Christ, Jesus teaches, he loves us. He loves us with the same love that he loved his only begotten Son. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, and Paul prays in the book of Ephesians, and he prays back. Paul, as Paul writes all the letters, every letter that Paul writes, as he begins that letter, he references God our Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, and his prayer is this. His prayer is that we would be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man, that we would know, understand, and comprehend the depth and the height and the width and the breadth of the love of Christ and the love of God. And in that, we would be filled with the fullness of God. And in the Gospel of John, as Jesus Christ begins to teach about this special relationship, he not only emphasizes the name Father, but in that, he also brings forth, number one, he brings forth and declares the love that God the Father has for his only begotten Son. Because he wants us to understand that, so that we would understand the love that God the Father has for us. Turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I've got 2 points tonight. I'm one up on our pastor. Not that I ever had a course in how to, well, I did have a course in how to preach, Tom Booth. But John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at the first thing that is brought forth in verse number 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You know, it doesn't just say that he declared him, but it puts a very important detail in there. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. You can't get any closer to your Father than that. He didn't say that is in the presence of the Father. He didn't say that is in the same location. He didn't say that is near to the Father. He says that is in the bosom of the Father. In the bosom of the Father. Right here, wrapped up in the heart of his Father. You can't get any closer than that. You can't get any closer than that, folks. Right in the bosom of the Father. He says, he hath declared him. And Jesus Christ begins to speak of the Father. You go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Jesus Christ begins to speak of his Father. He mentions the Father once, and John does in John chapter 2, where he refers to the temple as, Jesus said, my Father's house. But then in John chapter 3, Jesus begins to speak of his Father. And the first thing Jesus says is so precious. It's in John chapter 3 and verse number 35. Look what it says. Here's what he wants us to know. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. This truth right here, I'm going to take just a minute and just expound upon this one a little bit. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. You know, if we were to go back, you don't have to turn back there, but if we were to turn back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, there's a story that we're so familiar with, the story of the prodigal son. The father had two sons. One was selfish, and he went to his father and he says, give me my portion of the goods. And he took and he went off and he wasted his portion in riotous living. He was humbled. He came back to his father, and his father received him. Open arms, forgave him, welcomed him back, had a big feast, killed a fatted calf, welcomed him back into his home. But you know what we don't stop to really think about? is the message to the other son. Because when that son came back, and when he was welcomed into the house, the other son got angry. The other son was angry, fiercely angry. And the father entreated him, tried to talk with him, tried to reason with him. And the son's response was this: you killed a fatted calf for him. He wasted all your wealth. And when he returned, you killed a fatted calf. I spent my whole life here. Lived and served you. Worked for you. And you never did that for me. And you know what the father said? I was reading this one day when I was in the hospital. The father said, "Thou art always with me. And all that is mine is thine." Do you understand? When we were adopted into the family of God, that our loving Father says that to us. He says, "I have adopted you into my family," as we heard this morning. And he says, "Everything that is mine is yours as my child." And Jesus says, "The Father loves me. He's given all things into my hand." Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse number 20. Jesus speaks again. And he says this in John chapter 5 and verse number 20. "For the Father loveth the Son." There it is again. "The Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." Think of how much the Father loves you and me. Think, look at that. He opens up his truth to us. Tells us so much. More than we can even begin to comprehend. In my Father's house, how do we begin to comprehend that? Jesus said, "The Father loves me, shows me all things." Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." There it is again. Turn over to John chapter 15. Every few chapters, the Lord Jesus Christ can't help but say it. He loves me. He loves me. My Father loves me. Everything is mine because my Father loves me. He shows me stuff and tells me stuff and does stuff because he loves me. He loves me because I lay down my life. John chapter 15. Look what it says. John chapter 15, verse number 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my commandments," my Father's commandments, "and abide in his love." He says, These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And as Jesus Christ speaks, as he teaches his disciples, he tells them, "My Father loves me. My Father loves me. And everything springs forth from the fountain of that love." Everything. And so first of all, Jesus teaches of the Father's love for his only begotten Son. go to John chapter 17. Look what he says in John chapter 17, in verse number 24. John chapter 17, verse number 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And then he says this, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And he prays, and he says, I want them to understand that the love wherewith you loved me is the love wherewith you loved them. And so now we look, and we can go back, and we can look and see what Jesus says about the love of the Father for you and me as children of the living God. Go back to John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1. It starts there. It starts there. John chapter 1, as was preached this morning in verse number 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And now go over to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, as he comes to the conclusion of his public ministry, and as now he has gathered his disciples together, and he's speaking to those disciples whom he would send forth into the world, you and me, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He encourages them to strengthen them. And in doing so, he teaches them and reminds them of this great love that the Father had for him and the Father has for them. Look what he says in John 14 and verse 20. At that day, when the door is opened, because Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when he goes to the cross of Calvary, the door to this special relationship would be opened through his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. And he says, In that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And look what he says in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, not the guy that would betray him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. You get that? He's saying that to you, brethren. He's saying that to me. If we were standing there, he would look us in the eyes, and he says, my Father will love you. Look at me. Look up here. Jesus says, my Father will love you, and we will come, and we will make our abode with you. How? By the Spirit of the living God. Jesus says that to you. Jesus wants you to know that tonight. Jesus wants us to be overwhelmed with that, to be awed by that, to be dumbstruck by it. He says, my Father loves you. I love you. My Father loves you. And we have come and dwelt you to abide in you. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Well, no, go back to Matthew 6. I get time. It's only 6:59 and I'm almost done. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know, way back in the beginning of his ministry, he speaks about prayer. And in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, he says this, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know what that's saying? That's saying that God the Father wants time alone with you as his child. How come we don't run to that closet more? How come we're not like the little child that when it comes to evening time and dad returns home from the workplace, and that little child runs to the front door, eagerly looking to see his dad come in. And earthly dads are so worn out and tired. They've worked all day. They come home to rest, and they see their little child, and they do their best to gather that little child up in their arms and love them. And yet they're tired and they're worn out, as we all are. Not God. God says, I want so much to spend time alone with my child who I love. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he didn't say, you pray my Father. He said, you pray our Father. Because as much as Jesus, as God the Father, wants to spend time with each child individually, he also wants to spend time with all of us together, as he is tonight. But he says, enter into that closet. And in that closet, listen, that closet's not a dark place. You think about it and you think, well, a closet, that's a dark place. Oh, not when you enter into it with God, because God is light. And just as Jesus Christ took his disciples on that mount of transfiguration to pray and was glorified in that presence, when you enter into that closet, there's two things you're going to know. You're going to know the light of the presence of your Heavenly Father who wants to spend time with you. And you're going to know the fullness of his love. You're going to know the love of God. Romans chapter 8. I was complaining one day to my God and my Father, sitting at home in my sun porch. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. I was complaining one day. And I says, Lord, I can't do what I used to do. The Lord said, he said, no, you can do so much more. I'm ashamed to admit it. But he says, I've given you time that you can just sit with me, talk with me, and I can talk with you. I said, Father, forgive me. Because that's what God wants of every one of us. To be still and know that he is God. And to know that he is our Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, They are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8 goes on to say, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us as his children from this great love, the love of God for his children. Jesus Christ prays, and he says, Oh, Father, I pray for my disciples. I pray for everyone that's gathered tonight, Lake Spahn Baptist Church, that they would know this love, that they would know how precious this relationship is, that we would be overwhelmed with the love of God. And that's why John writes, about 90 years old, an old man writes, that had walked with Jesus Christ, had seen Jesus Christ, lived with Jesus Christ, listened to Jesus Christ, speaks of the fellowship that we have with God the Father and with God the Son. And he writes in 1 John chapter 3, as Pastor read it this morning, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Father, for your great love, for loving us while we were yet without strength, for loving us enough to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to open the door for this relationship. Father, thank you for shedding abroad your love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Father, may we be filled with the fullness of God as we dwell in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.